Let's pray. God and Father, we thank you that you, the God of all glory, would share your glory with us this morning. Lord, we come before you with joy in our hearts because of simply who you are. That you would come and love us, that you would give us the victory, that you would even allow us to share in the joy of your presence, Lord, is a true privilege. Lord, thank you for your word that shows us your goodness. I pray that you would let us see it more clearly this morning than ever before. Lord, that you would be with Bob's words as he comes and shares with us. Lord, I pray that we would see just how great you are. Pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. We are just coming off of the heels of Easter. I don't know if you know this. Easter, Holy Week, is a wonderful week of celebration, but it is downright exhausting. But in a great way. Much as you feel completely exhausted after shouting and jumping for joy for a long period, imagine a week full of that, and that's what it's like in ministry. And it is quite, I believe, a coincidence. I don't think we exactly planned it that we actually have someone coming in from the Gideons. But I just want to say a brief word before Bob comes up and shares what God has laid on his heart and shares from what God is doing in the Gideons. We here at Grace, we exist, we've connected to glorify God. That is the key of what we do here. We just sang about how great our God is. And I'm often reminded this time of year as you look out over this valley and you see the beauty of spring. You see creation shouting the glory of God. Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God, that the firmament shows forth his handiwork, that all of it is just declaring him. But there is never a more clear treatise and presentation of the glory of God than this book right here, than in the Bible itself. We exist to glorify God, and one of the greatest ways we do that is pointing people to God's word. It is his glory on display. We also exist, we glorify God by serving our community. Well, there's no book in the world that shows people's their true need better than this book will. We exist and glorify God by seeking the lost. This is the directions home. This is where we point people to help them get unlost. The Garmin of all Garmins shows you your eternal destination. We also glorify God by growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. We grow through God's word. It is his word that changes lives. It's his word that renews our mind and makes us more like him. Now, I challenged those of you that were in the Sunday school presentation, and I'm going to challenge everybody here this morning to ask a particular question as you hear what Bob has come to share. This is not what Bob does. This is what God does through him. And this is what God does through Gideons around the globe. God's word is powerful. I'm not going to give a date to it because my memory's not that good on it. I was probably 8 or 9 years old when this little old guy in my church came in, and he had these little brown books. And Charlie Resegui was his name. Very serious man. And he came over to me and he handed this book. I had known him as Uncle Charlie my whole life. He was Mr. Resegui, Uncle Charlie, whatever. And he handed me this Bible and this little brown New Testament. And it had this little lamp with a flame on it and Gideon's beside it. And he said, "Now, Aaron." Yes, Mr. Resegui. "Only take this if you will read it." Okay, I'll read it. It's the Bible. I read it all the time. Well, it just so happened that it was just before summer break, and I took it home, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. And I had tons of Bibles, but I promised I would read that one. He had made me promise before I took it I would read it, so I read it. And he would ask me every week, "Aaron, yes, are you reading that Bible I gave you?" Yes, Mr. Resegui, I'm reading that Bible. "What are you learning from it?" And he challenged me to be growing through it. I want to challenge you. Number one, how much of your life do you spend in this book? This is the lens through which we see the world. And if this is not the lens through which you see the world, you're going to start seeing this book through the lens of the world. And on top of that, I want to challenge you this morning to ask God this question. Be praying this as Bob is speaking. God, where do you want me to partner? Partner through prayer, partner through support, partner in simply doing the same thing, getting God's word out to people that need it. Bob brought this up in Sunday school. Does this look like a Bible to you? Nope. It's called a life book. It's actually a Gospel of John, and it has a whole bunch of great questions. When we go out on the state college streets, when we go out street evangelizing, we give college students life books. And they would reject a Bible. I've tried. I've gotten cussed out for trying to share Bibles, and it doesn't work that way. Hey, can I give you a free book? Yeah, sure, whatever. I'll take whatever, a free book. Do I have to write a report on it? That's the college students always ask that one. But these are the words of life. Where else can we turn but to Christ? He has the words of life. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is living and active. Divides soul and spirit, bone and marrow. And it shows us what God is doing in our life. So as Brother Bob comes and shares, come on up. I want you to just ask God, what do you want me to do with what he's saying? This is more than just wasting time this Sunday morning, isn't it? He's not just here to give me relief. It is nice to be preached to. But he's here to share with you what God is doing. And I wonder, for some of you in this room, what he might do through you. So let's bow in one last word of prayer before Bob speaks. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the scriptures that you have given to us, that you have breathed out as the breath of life for our souls. Lord, I pray that we'd be listening attentively, that you would speak through what Bob comes to share, and that as we hear his accounts of what you are doing throughout the globe, through just one branch of your church, through just one extension of your body, amen, reaching out to the world, Lord, I pray that we would get excited, that you would use us, that you'd use common folk to accomplish your kingdom goals. Lord, I pray that we would have a passion for your word, that it would change lives around us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I don't have to say too much after that. Double whammy here, right? You've probably never heard of Martha Schisler, but she and her invalid mother traveled from Bradenton, Florida, up to Illinois for a series of medical appointments that her mother had. When they got to the motel that night, Martha had brought a novel along with her to read, but it just didn't seem right. She was unduly worried and concerned about her mother. She looked over on the nightstand. She saw a book there. She picked it up, dropped half the stuff on the floor. Martha and her mother weren't churchgoers. Martha was really unfamiliar with the Bible, so she treated it just like you would any other book. She opened the front cover, turned to the first page, and started reading. She got to the story of Joseph, and she was so impressed with God's providential care of Joseph that she had to wake up her mother and read the story to her mother. They spent a week in that motel, and each night as they came back from the medical appointments, as they came back to the motel, Martha read a little bit more in the Bible. Some she read to herself, some she read aloud to her mother. When they got ready to leave that at the end of the week, going back to Bradenton, as I say, Martha and her mother weren't churchgoers. She didn't have a Bible of her own. She took that Bible, placed it in her suitcase, took it back to Florida with her. Now, I used to say that we don't recommend that. Since then, I've been corrected. We do encourage stealing. If you don't have a Bible of your own, take one out of the motel room. We will replace it. But Martha and her mother took that Bible back to Bradenton with them, continued reading it nightly for a month. At the end of the month, they both gave their lives to Jesus. Martha and her mother were both very thankful that someone had placed that Bible in that motel room. We estimate that over its useful lifespan of about 6 years, each Motel Bible has a possibility of reaching about 2,300 different readers. One Bible, 2,300 different people. I thank you very much to speak to you on behalf of the Gideons International this morning. It's a real pleasure for me to be here with you. Most of you are probably at least a little bit familiar with the work of the Gideons. You know that we are the men that place the Bibles in the motel rooms. But you may not know that we are an interdenominational group of Christian business and professional men and women who take very seriously the word that God gave Isaiah in the 55th chapter and the 11th verse. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the purposes whereunto I have sent it. There are now almost 200,000 Gideons serving as an extended missionary arm of your church in over 200 different countries throughout the world. We distribute God's word in over 93 different languages. Our purpose is the same as yours, both individually and as a church, to win men, women, boys, and girls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We accomplish this purpose through the distribution and placement of scriptures. We make God's word available not only in motels, hotels, elementary and secondary schools, but also in hospitals, convalescent homes, jails, military induction centers, and on college and university campuses, or for that matter, wherever God opens doors. We trust God to accomplish his purposes with his word. Joe Kelly was an advanced emergency medical technician serving at the cleanup after 9/11 in New York City. As Joe was leaving Ground Zero one day, she encountered a Gideon, and he gave her a small New Testament. Still brown, still has a flaming emblem on it. Jill took that New Testament back to the relief shelter where she was staying and started reading it. Jill had grown up in the church and knew Christ, but over the years she had fallen away. As she read that New Testament amidst that national tragedy, it caused her to rededicate her life to Jesus. The next day, on her way back to Ground Zero, a man emerged from the wreckage, bleeding and pretty well battered. Jill fixed him up as best she could, and as she was working on him, he noticed that New Testament that she still had. He asked her if she would be willing to trade that New Testament for a battered artificial rose that he had. Jill took that New Testament and at that time wrote her pager number in the front cover of it and traded him that New Testament for that battered artificial rose. Two summers later, she received a phone call. It was from the same gentleman, and he said, "Praise God, I have hope in my life now because I have Jesus in my life." And I like to say there's God's word doing double duty. One New Testament, two lives change. And it really does illustrate the nature of this work. As we give God's word to someone, we don't really know how it's going to be used, or for that matter, who's going to be using it. They may pass it on to someone else. They may pass it on to someone else. But we do know that God is going to use it for his purposes. Just as with Jill's New Testament, many of the Bibles that we place in the motel rooms do double duties. We regularly go through the motels, check the Bibles, make sure that they are in good condition. The ones that aren't in good condition, we take out of the motel rooms, replace with new, fresh copies of God's word. And we take the old ones and use them in our prison ministry. Ricky Sarton was arrested and incarcerated, and as he processed into the prison, he went through the chaplain's office. Now, the chaplain had New Testaments, and he asked Ricky if he would like a New Testament. Ricky said, "Sure, why not?" He took it. As he went back to his cell, he promptly threw it up in the shelf and forgot about it. Later, he was transferred to another facility where he was locked down for 23 hours a day. Having nothing to do, Ricky remembered that New Testament, took it down, and started reading it. It took him 6 days to read it all the way through the first time, only 5 days the second time, but the second time he recorded his decision for Christ in the back of it. And I like to say that that Bible literally saved his life. Ed and Jim Potsky had gotten lost returning from a Gideon meeting in downtown Minneapolis. They were trying to find their way back to I-35, and they found themselves lost in a deserted, dark area of town. As they drove, they spotted a group of rough-looking men standing huddled together over on the street corner. Being from a small town, Ed had faith in his fellow man and decided to stop and ask for directions. Being from a small town, Jim wasn't so sure, so he decided to stay in the car. As Ed got over there and started talking to the two men, as he got closer, he heard them talking, and he discovered that one of them was a new Christian and had a New Testament, was sharing his newfound faith with his friends. Turns out that this guy had been in prison. While in prison, he had received the Gideon New Testament, read it, given his life to Jesus, and now he was back on his street corner sharing his newfound faith with his friends. And when he found out that Ed was a Christian, he asked him if he knew where he could get some New Testaments for his friend. Ed said, "Well, I might happen to have some in the car." They went over to the car. They were introduced to Jim. Ed looked around in the car and found four New Testaments for the other guys. They read through that. They prayed together. After being shown the helps and the plan of salvation, the men then joyfully joined in prayer. Now I ask you, what are the chances that a man would be praying for testaments, that total strangers would get lost and stop in a deserted area in the dead of night to ask for directions, and that these strangers would just happen to have the right number of New Testaments? You know, some people hear that and say, what a coincidence. I hear that and I say, there's the hand of God. Yes, he knew exactly where those New Testaments, where those guys needed to be. They weren't really lost. They may have thought so, but God knew where they were. We know the Lord had his hand in that event. Years ago, there was a Gideon distributing copy of God's word on the college campus. He placed the copy in the hands of Craig, a young fraternity student. It was through reading that little green New Testament that Craig came to know Jesus Christ as Savior and accept him as Lord. He came to know that we don't earn our way to heaven, but we're saved through grace. Today, Craig Gotchel is a senior pastor of Life Church. The church meets in several locations around the United States and globally online. The Progressive Church is spreading the gospel online with live broadcasts of its services, as well as recorded videos. Isn't it amazing to see the impact of a single copy of God's word? We thank God for the Gideon who was faithful to go to that college campus that day and distribute God's word. We thank God for the donor who was faithful to make the contribution that paid for the copy of God's word. And of course, most of all, we thank and praise God for all he has chosen to do as a result of that single little green Gideon College placed New Testament. One New Testament, thousands, millions of lives changed. Ashley was a college freshman at the University of Minnesota. When she left for college, as with a number of college students, she left her Bible at home, along with most of her spiritual life. She was struggling with college life quite a bit for the first few weeks. One day, however, she was handed a New Testament by some Gideons. She set it on her desk and ignored it for a few days. One night, though, she was compelled to open it and read it. Simply doing that reignited the fire inside her for Christ. Her mom soon sent her Bible from home. We also distributed scriptures internationally. One of the exciting newer areas of our ministry is in the former Soviet Union. In one of their first distributions, the Russian Gideons were given 5 lecture halls at the University of Moscow. They daily had full houses of faculty and students who came to hear about Christianity and receive a copy of God's word. Over 23,000 scriptures were distributed that week. Later, a Gideon was speaking in a large church in Canada. A Russian concert pianist was also on that same program. When he heard about this distribution in Moscow, he said that he pulled out a New Testament and told how he had received that New Testament at that distribution in Moscow. He took it for the sole purpose of improving his English language. See, it was a bilingual New Testament with the Russian printed on one side and the English printed on the other side. So this Russian concert pianist took that New Testament so he could improve his English. He'd read the Russian, and then he'd read the English translation, and thus he improved his English language skills. But guess what happened? As he read the Russian and the English, he read God's word. God spoke to him. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Not the purpose he took it, but it was a purpose that God intended it for. Today there are Gideon's and Auxiliary, the Women's Extension, and over 227 different camps throughout the Soviet Union, placing hundreds of thousands of scriptures each month. Gideon's and Auxiliary members in the city of Lusaka distributed Bibles in the largest mental hospital in Zambia. After placing scriptures in doctors' offices and in patients' rooms, testaments were given to workers, students, and nurses. A total of 600 New Testaments were distributed. 70 white New Testaments were given to nurses, and about 100 bedside Bibles were placed. In addition, about 60 Bibles were placed in doctors' offices. All those provided by contributions from local churches just like this one. Mrs. Du Yu Lin of Taiwan had searched for many years to find the meaning of life. When she was visiting her cousin, she was surprised to find two dust-covered New Testaments on the shelf. He said that they had been given to him by some guys called Gideons. She cleaned the dust off one of them and began reading it. She accepted the truth of the gospel and was saved. She then shared the gospel with two of her younger sisters, who also received Jesus Christ. She invited her parents to the church she was attending and gave them the New Testament as well. Her father accepted the Lord. Later at the university, another graduate student expressed some curiosity about her faith. She shared that new Gideon Testament with him, and he also accepted the Lord. They were married later that same year. That one small New Testament was instrumental in bringing five people to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even better than Jill's New Testament with two, this one took five. And like I say, we don't know how it's going to be used, but we do know that God will use it for his purposes. You've heard this morning how our work has not been in vain. We've distributed God's word, and he's used it to achieve his purposes. People come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as they receive and read the New Testaments and Bibles that are placed in various places. What can you do to help assist this ministry and help fulfill the Great Commission? First and by far foremost, you can pray for us. As Pastor said, this really isn't a work that I do. This is a work that's done by the Holy Spirit, and that's only accomplished through your faithful prayers. Sometimes people say, well, all I can do is pray. You know, you're right. That is all you can do. And if you pray for us, you've done the most that you possibly can to assist our ministry. Your prayer support is vital to this ministry. Your prayers make everything else possible. Please pray for us. Pray that venues will open up. Pray that there will be places that we can distribute God's word. Pray that as people receive them, their heart is prepared. Pray that as they read them, God speaks to them, speaks to their heart, they come to know him as Savior. Second, you maybe want to become an active member of this ministry. If you're born again, a member in good standing in your church, and a business or professional man, you can get involved in this ministry with us. If you don't meet some of those qualifications, or if you don't want to be as heavily involved, you may consider becoming a friend of the Gideons. There's more information in your bulletin insert, or you can speak with me afterwards. Thirdly, you may want to support the ministry financially. The least important, but if you're willing and able to, you can. A couple of ways you can do that. You should have received our bulletin insert this morning. You can take that. there is attached to it a envelope. You can put your check, money order, credit card information, whatever in there, put a stamp on it, mail it to us. We've already missed the offering this morning, but I'm sure if you put a check in the offering, it will get to us. On the back of the envelope, for those of us that know how, that are in the 21st century, there's a nice quick response code, a QRC code. You can use your smartphone sitting right there at your chair right now to make a contribution for us. But as I told them in Sunday school, there is a 15-minute delay on that, so you have to listen to the rest of me before you can complete that. But you could do that anytime. You could go home this afternoon and sitting there watching TV, complete it at any time. So if you've come prepared, fine. There is also, we have our Gideon card program. And I still haven't found it. But the Gideon card, I'm sure it's out in the lobby, right? Yeah, out in the lobby, our Gideon card display. There are Gideon cards there, just like any greeting card that you would buy. You can use it to honor the person you want to honor. Inside, there's a place to record that you gave money to the Gideons for the placement of scriptures, and a place in there for you to write a little special message. And then inside the envelope, there's also a donation card. Send the donation to the Gideons. Send the card to the person you want to honor. I was just reminded as I listened to the announcements this morning that this is graduation season. I teach school. I ought to know that. Nice card to send to your graduate. Send the card to the graduate, honor them, let them know that you've placed Bibles in their name, but then don't forget to give them a personal gift also. Graduates need more than just a card saying that somebody else is getting a Bible. They are in their accumulating stage. They need a personal gift also, but they will appreciate the fact that lives are being changed in their honor. You send the card to an individual you want to honor, send the enclosed envelope with your contribution to the Gideons, and we use the money to buy and distribute Bibles. All the cards are also available on the website. If you want to go to gideons.org, the cards are available there. You can also get some special occasion cards. Same way. Because you prayed, were involved, and gave financially, Gideons have been able to distribute the Word of God. Gideons went to a motel in Orange County, California, and asked the owner if he needed Bibles. He put his hand in the air and said, "It's a miracle. It's a miracle." Inspectors had been there that week. Deficiency number 7 was no Bibles in the motel rooms. Gideons were thus able to place 150 Bibles in that motel room. I have one more testimony, if you will, that I think really illustrates the global nature of our ministry. This is from an entry in the Journal of Matthew and Marcy Martin, who are missionaries in East Africa. Now, I don't normally think about missionaries as being tourists, but when you stop and think about it, most missionaries are in the part of the world where they've never been before. I guess that's what makes them missionaries. Matthew and Marcy decided to go out into the bush and explore a little bit. 4 of us in our group decided that we would hike out into the bush to explore and hopefully see some of the wildlife. We began hiking, taking extra care to remember the way that we came because there was no trail or road to follow. We walked for a few hours and came upon a Maasai village. I knew that we were far from civilization when some of the children ran screaming in fear because we were the first white people they had ever seen. When it was about time to head back to camp, a man invited us to his compound for tea. We agreed a little hesitantly, but as we began talking, we discovered that he was a believer in Christ. I asked if he could read the Word of God to us in his own language. He gave an excited smile and ran to the back of his hut and grabbed his Bible. I immediately recognized it as a Gideon New Testament. how awesome is the power of God and His Word that it can be found even way out here in the African bush, even far from African civilization. In closing this morning, my Gideon message can be remembered very easily by remembering three M's. We are the men and women of the church using the money of the church to take the message of the church to the world. Thank you very much for your time and attention this morning.
But I hope that as you were sitting there, as you heard the stories, you might be looking for some of those same stories in your own life. That God might use you as one of the men and women of God, possibly using the money of the church to preach the message of the church. Bob, did you get a big G on your chest when you became a Gideon? You're not a super Christian? You're just a normal human being that's saved by grace? We can do the same thing, folks. God can use, if he can use Balaam's donkey to preach a message, pretty sure he can use any one of us. You can be just as effective because, as Paul put it, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not in our wit. It's not in our having all the answers. It's not in us being experts in any field. It is God's word spoken and lived out before people that will change lives. We talk a lot about loving people. And if we truly love them, we will speak truth. And this is truth. It might not be the truth they want to hear, but it is truth. Friday night, we were on the streets and had one young fellow just in, as soon as I mentioned the name of Jesus, you could see the porcupine quills coming out the back of his neck. He was about ready to slug me. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And he shared with me stories that I'm not going to share behind the pulpit, but he shared with me stories of what had happened to him. And through the gospel, I wish I could tell you I led him to Christ. I led him to Christ's door he didn't walk through. Let's just put it that way. But the hope is, because I gave him one of those life books before he left. And the hope is, he'll read it. And I'll get a call. Hey, Aaron, I'd love to. Or if nothing else, while we're standing at those gates, we'll find out. What if you could be one of those stories? Perhaps through the Gideons, perhaps through just your own personal reaching out to people. We have Bibles to give away. How many of you have a Bible collecting dust on your bookshelf at home? Or a dozen? And there are people that around that don't have one. Perhaps God can lead you to preach the gospel to them. It's often been said that we are the only gospel some people will ever read, just our life. That's a real shame. Let's give them the unadulterated version. Let's put this into people's hands. We're going to close with another hymn. Remind me which it is. I'm blanking at the moment. 563, open my eyes that I might see. My prayer for you is that God opens our eyes. Some of you are already actively doing this. That's great. That's wonderful. Keep at it. I hope that this was just a great recharge, a punch in the arm to keep going. And some of you, you're sitting here going, wow, you Christians are really weird. You talk about spreading this book like it's, man, if you only knew the difference that it could make. I pray that God would open our eyes. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey that and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Friends, we have something here that is worth more than gold. And we can give it away freely. We can give it away so readily, so available, in so many ways. Why not give that away? Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you are doing around the globe. Thank you for what you are doing through the Gideon's ministry, through the ministry of your church. Thank you for your word that is transforming lives. Thank you for your word that revives souls, brings them back from spiritual death to life in you. Lord, I pray that your word would go out, that as we are called to be salt and light, your word would pour out to the globe. In this planet of 7 billion souls, Lord, there are so many that need to be reached. Lord, thank you for using us to do that. I pray that you would open our eyes not only to see the truths in your word, but to act on them, that tell us to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything you have commanded us. Lord, I pray that your word would dwell in us richly, that it would pour out from our heart in action and word. Lord, I pray that you would use us to spread your message around the globe. We are asking for nothing short of revival through your word. In Jesus' name.